From the Altoona Marine Corps Air Station, this is Marine Staff Sergeant Bob Vandywalker. And today we're going to be talking to a Marine that just returned recently from Vietnam and who was assigned to Squadron VMA 121 here at El Toro. We're going to be talking to Corporal Tim Wankey. Tim, to start things off, would you please tell me what squadron you're assigned to and what your job is in the squadron?
I'm assigned to VMFA 122, which is a Phantom Squadron over in MAG 33.
What's your job at the time of the squadron?
I'm in ordnance.
Tim, you just returned from Vietnam. Can you sort of fill me in on when you were there, when your tour was, how long it was, and so forth?
Well, we left El Toro a year ago to go to Japan with VMFA 513. We were deployed several times during the year, and our last deployment was down in Vietnam. We left right around the middle of June and just recently returned.
What town were you located at in Vietnam?
We're in Da Nang Airfield.
What was your job there in Vietnam?
Again, ordnance.
You worked on what type of aircraft?
F-4B, same type of aircraft I'm with now.
Tim, can you sort of explain to me what a day's work consisted of for you in Vietnam?
Well, our shop was understaffed, so we had to work long hours. Now, we had three divisions within our shop, 2 day crews and 1 night crew. Now, an average day, we'd be getting up at 3 in the morning and being at work at 4. We'd work from 4 until 6 or 7 o'clock that night and then return back to the tent area.
You had additional jobs besides working on a helicopter, on an aircraft?
Yes, we had duty NCO, we had to stand. 2 people a night had to stand it. And then there was walking guard on the aircraft.
Then this is like setting up machine guns or anything like this. Did you do this? When you walked guard an aircraft, what did this consist of?
Carrying a loaded shotgun.
At any time when you were out there, did you ever have an opportunity to run into the Viet Cong? Maybe this is not an opportunity, but did you run into them?
Well, I never ran into them. We were one night under fire and were given ammunition and hand grenades and told to stand by that they were coming. This was the night when they blew up the Air Force aircraft down at the end of the field about 5 months ago, perhaps you remember.
You were there when this happened?
Yes, I was.
They overran the field?
Right.
Can you sort of explain what happened that night?
Well, I had duty NCO that night, and I had an assistant who was standing the guard down by the tent. I went back up to get some sleep. I'd been working since 3 that morning. And I just climbed under the mosquito net. I had my clothes on. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and there was a tremendous explosion. I didn't know exactly what it was. I was kind of stunned for a second. About 4 or 5 seconds later, I heard machine gun fire. So I rolled out of the rack and grabbed my rifle and helmet when we had trenches dug right behind our tent. And we could see the planes exploding down the way. And, well, not too much longer. This was about 200 yards from our tent area. We saw them going back out through the fence, and at that time we started receiving fire in our position. We had a company of infantry in front of us, staggered along the wire, and of course we weren't allowed to fire until they drew back, and they never drew back, so we didn't have an opportunity to shoot at them.
So the infantry sort of cleared out the Viet Cong from the area?
Yes, they did. Well, they more or less cleared themselves out. They took off as soon as they hit us.
Is this the kind of thing that you have to worry about from night to night, that they are going to come into your position?
It's a real funny feeling. You never feel very secure, especially when you're right on the perimeter of the base, as we were. See, the base doesn't have wire completely around it. So each encampment has 3 or 4 concertina strands around it with trip flares and landmines out in front of it. And you really don't know what to expect from day to day. It's a real funny feeling.
How about going into villages? Do you have this feeling, too? Is there always a problem that people are concerned, the Marines, at the Viet Cong or in these villages?
Well, to begin with, it's very difficult to tell one from the other. They don't wear usually a uniform. They wear the silk pants and shirt and the coolie hat. So it's very difficult, and it's virtually impossible to tell the difference between the two. You never know what to expect.
Understand also the Viet Cong, there's no age limit either. You don't know what the age you're going to be running into, or male or female, either one. Is this true?
Well, several times I had an opportunity to see Viet Cong prisoners that were being sent out from the Da Nang Air Base by the Air Force up to a concentration camp or an encampment. And these people ranged from, well, the youngest one I saw was 10, This is what the sentry told me his age was. It was 10, and then there was a man that appeared to be 70 or 75. And it's not restricted to just male. There are female there, too.
Corporal Wanke, how does this come about, getting these young kids in? How do the Viet Cong operate to do this?
Well, I really couldn't say. I've never gone into it that much. But as far as I can tell, they really don't know what's happening. They have two cores of the Viet Cong. They have the hard core, and then they have just the guys that go around to terrorists, they call them. And these people go to the villages and sell them on the idea that the only way they're going to eat is to go along with the communist theory. Now, they don't explain it to...
Is this a fear program in some cases?
Yes, most of the time it is.
Where they take the mother and father and say, I'll kill you if your son don't go or so forth?
Oh, this is, yes, primarily.
Tim, you talked to me before. Besides working on jet aircraft and your guard duty, you told me you flew in helicopters. Can you explain this to me?
Well, down from our area, they had, we called them Hueys, the Army did, and they were more or less undermanned, and I am a qualified M60 machine gunner. So I go down there just to see more of what was going on. I didn't have much of an opportunity at Da Nang. So on one occasion, I flew as a machine gunner on the helicopter.
How many flights did you do? Can you remember on this?
How many, pardon me?
How many times did you go out on this?
Just once.
How old are you, Tim?
I'm 22.
What's the average age of the young Marine over there, the people you dealt with? You find that they're pretty young?
Well, I'd say they were pretty close to my age, between 20 and 22. There aren't that many young people.
You feel they're good soldiers or good mechanics in the aviation line? And morale-wise, how is their feeling?
Well, they have a lot of pride, and of course, with pride, you have morale.
And they're in real good shape. What's their feeling on this demonstrations that happened back here in the United States?
Well, overseas, we have a Stars and Stripes newspaper, and it always shocked us, the headlines that we got while we were down Da Nang, of the students rioting. And we'd sit in the tent at night and hypothetically go through a situation which might occur, somebody asking us why we were down there, telling us we had no business being down there. And we got a lot of laughs out of it sometimes.
In other words, you'd like to have some of these people over there and just show them?
We certainly would. It would be a tremendous experience.
If there's any one particular thing you could have had while you were in Vietnam, what would it have been?
Well, I think milk, first of all, and then ice. There was neither down there.
Tim, can you sort of tell me about the team effort by all branches of the service in Vietnam? What's your feeling on this?
Well, there's a tremendous team effort down there. The different shops at different times within a squadron need help, and regardless of how long you've been working or what your job is, you always go out and give them a hand if they need it. It's the way it always has been down there.
Tim, what is your feeling about going back to Vietnam?
Well, since I've been down there and know the problems that they are facing, I feel almost guilty having as much liberty as I do now that I'm back. Being able to go to a movie in town, being able to go to a snack bar and have a hamburger or a milkshake any time I want it, it's entirely different. And I feel very sorry for the people that are down there now and that can't enjoy these liberties.
Well, let's turn this around. How did you feel when you got your orders to come back to the States?
It's the greatest day of my life, I think.
You feel all Marines because of what you're missing?
Well, everybody gets homesick. We've been over there a year, and we were definitely ready to come back. We had a lot of tremendous experiences, had a lot of fun together, learned a lot of things, but we were ready to come back.
Have you learned, being a young man you are, to appreciate a lot of things that you took for granted before?
Well, I am convinced now. I wasn't before I left, but I'm convinced now that the United States is the greatest place in the world.
What are your feeling on the young boy or girl here in the United States that have taken up a program to write the young Marine or soldier in Vietnam? Do you feel this is a good morale builder over there?
I think it's a tremendous effort by the people here in the States. While we were down there, there was a feeling quite a lot of the time that people weren't behind us, and this isn't really a very good feeling. But I think this will help the men down there. I would have been very happy to receive letters down there. That's all you really live for.
How is mail down there?
It's pretty regular. It's slow, but it's pretty regular.
How are you situated as far as PX and so forth? Do you have a PX in your area, or how does this
No,
work?
There was one main PX to serve all of the Da Nang area. And if you got down there after the ships had just come in, you were set. You could get anything you wanted. But If you went in there 3 or 4 days after payday, when everybody else had been there, there was nothing.
Is it true that some of the men have to march probably or walk 4 and 5 miles to just get to the PX?
Oh, yes, sir. The infantrymen up in the hills, if they can't catch a ride, they have to walk it down there.
How did the infantrymen and the aviation people get along down there? Still
I had an opportunity a couple of times to go on Liberty in Da Nang and meet a couple of these men. And to begin with, they were kind of negative toward the air wing until they asked me my job. And I'd tell them, well, I was in ordnance. I loaded bombs, fused bombs, loaded rockets. And they'd relate to me right away an experience where one of our planes had come in and saved their lives. Now, this has happened many times, not just once or twice.
So before the evening was over, you really became close friends and everything else, right?
Very good friends. I'm still writing a couple of them now.
Tim, could you sort of sum up your tour in Vietnam as far as your personal feelings of many things that might have happened or going back and so forth?
Well, my tour in Vietnam, I learned quite a lot about myself. I went down there with the idea that I was probably as brave and as good an American as the next guy. But after I got down there, I found that I really didn't appreciate the things that we have, and found that I'm not the John Wayne type individual I thought perhaps I might have been. But I was very happy to at least have my opportunity to defend what I believe in.
Do you feel this is a pretty general all-around feeling?
Yes, I do.
Of the young Marine over there.
I do. I never talked to anyone down there that was didn't like being down there. Now, there were a lot of hardships, of course, and that was the subject of talk all the time. But there was no one down there that didn't believe that he was down there for a good reason.
I know back, myself being in other wars, did a lot of the younger fellows turn to the older fellows in many cases when you had the problem and talked to them?
As soon as I got down there, I found a sergeant that had been around a little bit, been in Korea. And we'd have long talks with hypothetical questions, what would happen if this happened? Because I wasn't really prepared for going down there.
So sort of got together and told each other your troubles, and right?
Right. He held kind of classes for several of the people.
Tim, what do you call your hometown?
Well, I call it San Francisco, but my family has moved back to Wayne, New Jersey now.
Where do they live back there?
Lake Packinac, wherever that is.
In other words, they were always living in California originally?
Yes, I was born in California. We lived for several years in the Palos Verdes area, and then Dad was transferred through his company up to San Francisco.
One other question, Tim. Did you ever run into any Marines over there that you say you met in boot camp or anything like this?
Well, not only Marines that I had met in boot camp, I ran into people that I had gone through fourth grade with, ninth grade with, high school, then lots of people that I went through boot camp with.
Can you explain some of these reunions that...
Oh, yes. One happened down the PX down there. It was kind of funny. I walked into the PX, and I saw this boy I thought I knew from the side. I walked up to him, and I said, excuse me, is your name Bostic? He turned around, and right away he recognized me, and I recognized him, and we spent the rest of the day just walking around talking, catching up on things that had happened.
Was he in the aviation, or was he in the infantry?
Oh, he was in Force Recon.
How far away was he from you at this particular time?
He was up in Happy Valley, about 5 miles, 5 or 6 miles.
Did you see him again before you left?
No, I didn't.
So these are one of these half-day friendship reunion, that's it?
Right, you just don't expect ever to see him, and there he is.
Well, Tim, I want to thank you very much for talking to me today, and I want to wish you an awful lot of luck.
Well, thank you very much.
And from the El Toro Marine Corps Air Station, we've been talking to Corporal Tim Wanke, who just returned from Vietnam.